I'm back. Better late than ever, right? Yes, I am back. Do a little podcasting here. Took a couple years off. Just going to say it's been a crazy past couple years. between pandemic teaching, we had a natural disaster here in Iowa that, you know, not a lot of people see. I mean, I had never heard of the word derecho before then. So, and just kind of going through the rebuilding process with where I live, it's been kind of nuts. So, but things are starting to calm down. I'm finally back. And we are going to be talking about blogging. Now, some of you may have seen before. Yes, I have talked about some blogging in the past, but I thought, you know, what the heck, it's a great topic to talk about during the summer. And so besides that, we're going to talk about blogging. We're also, I'm going to try and keep it somewhat short. We're also going to throw in some summer resources for teachers to look at. So anyways, let's get back to what we were talking about. Blogging. Now, some of you may have heard of the term blogging. Some of you may have heard of the term vlogging. Yes, with a V. I did not say that incorrectly. It's had a lot of different names over the years. It's had a lot of different purposes. I'm going to talk about the educational ones, not like, you know, the Logan Pauls and all that fun stuff on TikTok. but going back here, blogging. Now, there are a lot of great uses with blogging. I'm an elementary teacher, but honestly, I would say this would be a great resource. I mean, anywhere from kindergarten, yes, I said kindergarten, all the way through high school. Basically, let me back up here. The term blogging is just another form of getting your thoughts out in a different medium besides just talking it out. I mean, that's pretty much what I'm doing right now. I'm doing a audio version called a podcast, but they're all kind of tied together. Now, with blogging, it usually talks more about writing something out, or like I said before, this is how it kind of ties in, and kind of vlogging kind of gave birth to all those wonderful video podcasts, because in my opinion, it's essentially the same thing. Video blog, again, is you sharing your thoughts, but in a video format. Now, that is a great place for people who might be deal with anxiety, like I do, who want to record themselves without other people around. Same thing with the audio version, but it can be a great way to kind of get over your fear of possibly public speaking. And granted, I'm going to say, I know it's hard because I can hear a lot of you out there saying, what the heck? Somebody who deals with anxiety does not want to be on camera. But again, I've seen it done before. Students, like I said before, who are afraid to talk in front of a large group, sometimes have an easier time talking in front of just like an iPad. Okay. And again, it gradually builds over time. So it's not like all of a sudden they're going to cure their fear of talking in front of public. But like I said, it's a process. Now, again, with a video blog and with a video podcast, like I said, there's usually a topic that you're going to be talking about, which is something that I personally want to try and delve into some more myself. So you never know. You may see me on a video podcast coming up here. Going down to the blogging side. Talking about blogging. Blogging, a lot of people automatically think, oh, hey, I'm going to type it up. I mean, essentially, it's kind of, if you look at it, if you're people in my generation, that's all I'm going to say. people in my generation, a lot of people had diaries. I mean, you know, those classic books where you'd hide it from your relatives because you didn't want your older brother or sister to see your deepest, darkest secrets of like who your crush was. Not that I did that or anything. But it's, again, it's another medium for people to get their thoughts out. Now, talking about resources to use, because all of you might be saying, okay, great, now I kind of have a better idea of what the heck blogging is, or vlogging, also video podcasting. What are some resources you can use? Now, again, this all depends on your district that you work for, but there have been great resources that I've used. I'm not going to take up your whole time here. I'm just going to, because this is called Tech in a Sec, so I'm just going to throw out some that I have used before in the past that are some of my favorite. One, starting out here, way back when, used to be called KidBlog. It is now called FanSchool. This one used to be free. Unfortunately, as time goes on, like a lot of great teaching resources, they start to become blocked by some of the paywalls. So I just wanted to be upfront and honest with you. If you do look into FanSchool, you're going to have to look at paying for it. Now, again, though, with FanSchool, there's a lot of great place, a lot of great things with it. I mean, you can create your own homepage for kids to work on, so that way you have a centralized place to put all their thoughts, and that way you don't have to worry about them putting their thoughts out in the unknown. Okay, a little Frozen reference there. But again, looking at it, KidBlog, like I said, or FanSchool, got to get used to that. FanSchool, again, also has other resources that you would see on some of those professional blogging sites, like, say, WordPress. Google Sites also has some. They can comment on their pages. But again, like I said, it's still in a centralized place on FanSchool, so you don't have to worry about the outside world if you want to kind of delve into it. Now, the other piece, with that also, with FanSchool, like I said, you, the teacher, are in total control of it. Even though the students are posting their thoughts, you still have to approve everything. So again, not to worry. Teachers are thinking, oh, hey, I have kind of that parental supervision piece right there, okay, which is key when you're teaching, especially nowadays. Now, on the flip side, over the years, I keep looking for great free resources, and granted, it's not as pretty as, say, like a FanSchool is, because FanSchool is totally dedicated to it, but Google Classroom. Now, some of you might be thinking, how is Google Classroom, a school management system, be used for a blog? Well, there's a lot of different ways, and again, this is coming from my Google certification background, but the nice part, a lot of the people that I'm talking to right now, you're probably thinking, I have access to Google and it's free. This is why I saved this one for last, because again, those of you who've used Google tools before, it's not necessarily the prettiest, because Google has, shall we say, their stakes in a lot of different resources all at once. Unlike FanSchool, which is just totally dedicated to one specific piece, which is blogging. But coming back to Google Classroom, let me throw out a few things that you can use. Google Docs, Google Slides. Those, again, are different forms where students can create a story, and then you can submit it on Google Classroom. Now, the best part, though, going back to Google Classroom, those of you who've used it, you can create a post, like a news announcement, and have students comment on it. Now, granted, this is something that you might want to use upper elementary and so on, not necessarily younger elementary. We'll get back to them here in a sec. Okay? But talking about blogging on, say, like a comment or a post that you put on Google Classroom, you could then have your students respond to a question. You could even have your students just essentially write their story in a comment section. And like a blog, then other students can comment on what they do. Or you, the teacher, can comment on it. Now, again, those of you who use Google Classroom, you also, the teacher, still have access and supervision over everything that goes on. If somebody doesn't post something very nice, because let's be honest, it's probably going to happen at some point, you can review it and have a nice little chat with that student. Okay? Now, I've thrown a lot at you. But again, talking about why blogging is so important. I've talked about what blogging is. I've talked about how, like, some resources to use for blogging. Why is blogging so important? And again, those kindergarten, first grade, and second grade teachers are sitting here saying, you said at the very beginning of this podcast that my student could do blogging or vlogging. Well, here you go. The biggest piece why I say this is so important, and again, I touched a little bit on video blogging, but with blogging or video blogging, it's a way to get your thoughts out. Now, a lot of you can say to yourself and think, huh, I know a lot of students that I've had in the past that have had great thoughts. They're just afraid to share it, per se, in a whole group setting, okay? Because again, I was that kid growing up. I had thoughts, but I was like, ooh, I don't want to share it with the whole class. That's almost embarrassing. I don't want somebody to judge me, okay? Now, with resources like I said, Google Classroom, students have a way of still getting their thoughts out. And if a student can get their thought out, that's how they learn how to develop their thoughts, okay? Now, with younger elementary kids, you may have a little bit more luck with video blogging than, say, full-on handwriting, okay? Because I remember the times trying to work with my two nieces when they were in kindergarten trying to handwrite, and that's a whole thing. But not necessarily everybody. But talking about video blogging, and it doesn't have to be super long. Again, the biggest piece, when I say blogging, a lot of people think to themselves, holy cow, it's going to be like this huge, big, long book. I mean, I read blogs. I read posts or video blogs that go like 20, 30 minutes. My student can't do that. Again, it's all about development. Over the years, their thoughts will grow. They'll develop their own personalities over time. But the biggest piece in doing that is they have to get their voice out to begin with. Now, like I said, with video blogging, with, say, a younger elementary student, it could be super simple. Like on, say, Seesaw, they have a great place, if your school has access to Seesaw, where they can record themselves in a post to the teacher. Okay? And again, kindergartners I've worked with before with Seesaw, it's not a super long post. I mean, heck, it could be maybe like 30 seconds and they tell me how they're doing. That is essentially getting their thoughts out. It's not like a big long story. It's just them telling me how they're doing that day. Okay? So that's the biggest piece I want you to understand. A lot of people think with video blogging and typing blogging, I mean, it has to be this big, huge thing. It does not. Again, the biggest piece I want you to take away from this for a child's development, if they want to develop their own thoughts, they need to learn how to get their thoughts out. They can't just keep them all stuck inside their head for their whole life. And again, I speak from experience, being someone who dealt with anxiety my whole life, and the thought of sharing with someone outside of, like, myself, okay? So, a lot of things right there. Now, I just want you to take a moment and kind of think to yourself how this might apply to your classroom. One great thing, too, like I said, the only way that we grow as human beings is getting your thoughts out. On this website that I have my blog, this is live, that I have my podcast linked to, there is a section for an audio comment. So again, those of you, I'm trying to differentiate here, those of you who have ways that you think work great with your students or have done blogging or vlogging in the past, go ahead and share it. I would love to hear those thoughts. And then again, like I said, talking about blogging here, you share your thoughts. I might not have thought of those thoughts before when I hear you on those audio recordings. And again, you're helping me learn too. So it kind of ties back to this whole thing about blogging and the importance of it. Okay. We're going to take a short break here. And we're going to get back to some summer resources. So we'll be right back. Let's go ahead and get to every teacher's favorite subject, professional development in the summer. Yeah. Now, again, granted, maybe this isn't for everybody. I mean, or some people might do it in different ways. This is just some resources I just wanted to share with you all. Again, when you're looking for professional development, because frankly, you have more time during the summer than during the regular school year, because you're going 100 miles an hour during the school year, now you have a little time to first and foremost take some time to yourself, for yourself to kind of recuperate, and then start thinking about some professional development, okay? Kind of like how I took a little time off here after dealing with some natural disasters and things here in Iowa these past 2 years. I was like, I need a little time for myself. But going back here, here are some great places that you can look for some free professional development. Hive Summit, which I will post all these links in the show notes after I get done here. But the Hive Summit, those of you who have read Teach Like a Pirate or Explore Like a Pirate, Michael Matera is great. I've met the dude. He's super awesome, super authentic. He has a free professional development conference called the Hive Summit. Here's a hint. There's a lot of bee imagery involved. But again, it's free. So I'll post that link there. A few other, they have a bit of mix of free and paid. So just wanted to make sure you knew that. If you want to get a little more techie, have some more information to help you out with some of the tools you use at school, you can look up Apple Teachers, and they have professional development on all of their tools that you can use with students, whether it be with iPads, apps on the iPads, or with Mac computers like I'm recording this podcast on. Okay? And then you get a nifty little badge at the end that you can show off to everybody. Google, this is where I said, has some of the mixture. You can do some free Google, which I've done, are great resources looking under Google Education. They give you some free resources to kind of get yourself up to speed on, hey, what are Google tools? My school district maybe just got access to Google Docs and I need a little practice with it. There you go. They also have paid if you wanna keep it going and get even more in depth, which I've also done. I highly recommend them. But again, just wanna make sure you know, those ones are paid if you keep it going. The very first level is free to kind of get your feet wet, and then you keep going, okay? And lastly, Microsoft, also, because again, they can't be outdone by Apple and Google, Microsoft has some free resources too that I have worked on before in the past, kind of like what Apple does, just to kind of help teachers learn how to better use some of the tools that they have. Like those of you who have maybe done Skype a Scientist, they have a whole resource section on how the heck to use Skype a Scientist, let alone what the heck it is, okay? So there are tons of other ones out there too. I mean, you can always go check out your lovely area education agency, which I have some great friends out there. They give great resources. Again, granted, some of those you might have to pay for. But again, just keep looking around. There's tons of resources everywhere. Like I myself just last week spent a week at the University of Iowa, which I'll talk about more in future podcasts, working with some great teachers from around the United States. It wasn't just Iowa. The Iowa teachers were great too, but there were teachers all the way from Pennsylvania. I mean, it was awesome. Again, and I say this because it ties back into helping students develop your thoughts. Me getting a chance to work with other teachers outside my normal cohort, I get to hear thoughts on how they do it. And then it helps me develop my own thoughts, just like how we want to help our students. So again, it's a lifelong skill. Well, anyways, hope you enjoyed. I'm going to try and get back to doing this regularly. You may see some new things like our new podcast theme. Just wanted to play around with some stuff. I figured, what the heck? It's been 2 years. I needed something new to kind of get people back into the swing of things. All right. Well, it's been fun. I'll check you later. And happy 4th of July weekend.